2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It was God's choice, God's choosing. And Paul didn't want to do it, if you recall. We just looked at that recently. Paul was not interested. Paul wanted to serve God his way and his religion and his custom and his tradition. And there's only one problem with that. Many of us were brought up in traditions that were not necessarily anti-biblical, but they were extra-biblical. So we take God's word and then we add man's word on top of it. And God wants it his way. Not our way, not mama's way, God's way. And so now, you know, I love the church I grew up in. I love the pastor that I grew up under, and several of them that we had through the years. I love them. But there were things that were taught to us that were not in the Bible. They were man's rules. They were church rules. They were not God's rules. And so we need to live by the will of God. And not just that, think about pastors that you've known, preachers that you've known, evangelists that you've known through the years. Some of them are doing it because they want to, not because it was God's choice, not because God called them, not because God put them in that position. And on the other hand, there are many that God called who aren't serving because of whatever. They're not doing what God would have them to do. That's something only I can know about my walk with God. I can't stand in judgment for a pastor and say, oh, you're not a God-called preacher. That's, you know, we talked about that the other day, didn't we? Judging God's servants. So I can't say, well, you're not the real deal, and I can't say, well, you're doing it because you want to, or you should be doing it. I can't put people in the ministry. That's not my job, to put people in ministry. My job is to teach them. My job is to show them the way. But God's got to be the one to call them. You can't even get saved unless God calls you. And we can work as hard as we want. We can see every person in our community. Just draw a line and start talking to everybody and tell them they need to be saved. But they're only going to get saved if God draws them. Now, God's going to draw everyone. And he said that. I will draw every man to myself if I be raised up. Remember, he said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So his desire is for all to be saved. But it's got to be God's timing. It's got to be God's calling. It can't be our will. You didn't get saved because you chose to. You got saved because God drew you and you agreed. So you had some choice. Everyone has some choice. But it was, I would say it this way, it wasn't your idea. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, the life is in Christ. In Christ, that's where it comes from. The eternal life is in Christ. It's not anywhere else. We've got to be saved. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, and of course that's a son in the ministry. It's not his biological son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. You understand what Paul's saying is, I have lived for God. I have served God the best way I know how. You understand, he was serving the best way he knew how when he was still Saul. He was just misled. And we have to be cautious about that. Even in a great church like this, even with plain Bible teaching, you bring your Bible to church, you can tell if I'm saying something that's not in there. So we have that checks and balances. And even with that, we've got to make sure that we're not being led down a different path. We've got to make sure that we're sticking to what God's called us to do and what God's written in his word through his authors. With a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And I don't know how your prayer life is. I talked to some of you about your prayer lives from time to time. And I can tell you, these needs, even though you may have raised your hand and said, pray for so-and-so, and I didn't say it during the church prayer, it doesn't mean they're forgotten. Because it's going to come up. You know, the name's going to roll through the prayer throughout the day. And that's, we need to stay in contact with God. Keep the line open, right, Bill? Keep the line open. Bill has a story he told about a storm. They were out on the boat, and the storm kind of opened up, and they knew where they were going. They'd been praying, and then it kind of looked like they knew where they were. And I think it was Brother Bill said to Melissa, said, "Well," she said, "Amen." He said, "Hold on, stop. Keep the line open. keep this line open. We're not home yet." Something to that effect. He could tell the story. I know he'd love to tell you the story. After church. Amen. But the point is, Paul says to Timothy, "I think about you when I pray. Man, when I'm praying, I pray for you. I remember you in my prayers." And I think it's valuable, and somebody said that on the way out the door this morning. He said, I pray in order, alphabetically now, of every member of the church, every visitor of the church, the people that come through. And so I'm able to tell you, you know, who comes in this line, this order, because that's how I pray. By name, everybody, by name. And your extended families, if I know who they are. And if you say, you know, pray for my uncle, well, if your uncle has a name, if you'll give me that name, I'll pray for your uncle a little bit better. But if I'll just pray for your uncle. But we need to pray for each other. And Paul says, when it comes to his prayer, he said, "Timothy, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, night and day." Not just in the morning, not just at scheduled time, not just at church service, night and day. Verse 4, "greatly desiring to see thee." It's good when we love our Christian family, isn't it? It's good. And somebody called me the other day. They had run into Sister Beth in town. You know who it is. And said, "I ran into Sister Beth." And the tone of voice, the inflection in her voice told me she was glad she ran into Sister Beth. And, well, in fact, it was somebody else. You run into two this week, didn't you? The other one said, "I was such and such, and Sister Beth ran over to the door." And so see how that just love, we love our family, our church family. I don't know if you've ever been in a church or had members of the church where you see somebody and you pull down the next aisle. I don't want them to see me. I don't want to see them. I don't want to get caught up with them. That'd be a terrible thing to be in a church like that, to have brothers and sisters like that. Man, we ought to want to see each other. Paul says to Timothy, "greatly desiring to see thee." He had a great desire. He wanted to see him. And that's, I'll tell you, that's part of what church is. That's part of what hurts so much about this year and our members that can't be here. That I want to see them. I enjoy seeing them. I enjoy talking to them. And I understand the reason that they're not here. I get it. But I want to see them. I want them to be here. And that's why we're doing the disinfecting of the church, even beyond what we normally clean. And, hey, we've got vaccines. Whenever you're ready, we're ready for you to come back. We want to see you. We greatly desire to see you. And then he says, "being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." So he understands, you know, Paul is mentoring Timothy, and he understands the struggles that Timothy's going through as a pastor and the burdens that he's carrying as a pastor, as a young pastor. And he says, "I'd love to comfort you, and just being around you would comfort me, encourage you." You know, and that's, again, part of this, of the church operation and assembling together to be able to look each other in the eye and to shake each other's hand or hug each other's neck, even though there's not a lot of that going on these days. Or even just fist bump, whatever it takes. Just to have that connection and to have that visual and to have that fellowship, to comfort one another, to calm one another, to encourage one another. Look at verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." So when he talks of Timothy's faith, he uses a term. He says, your faith is not plastic. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. It's real. It's real faith. Your unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then he tells us, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." So we see something here. We kind of talked about this morning with the children. And we see that it's so important for mom and grandma and dad and grandpa to be the real deal, to really show their faith, to have their faith on display. Our children need to see us reading our Bible, need to hear their name in our prayers. They need to know that it's real, that it's not a church thing, that it's not a religious thing. They don't need to see us worrying. They don't need to see fear in us. They need to see the confidence and the reliance on God. You say, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. It's in the Lord's hands. It doesn't mean we can't plan, and it doesn't mean we can't prepare. But we have to come back to the resolution and the peace of knowing it's in God's hands. God's got it under control. He's seen it in his mother and grandmother, and now it's in Timothy. And look at what he says in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Paul, by his teaching, by his ministering to Timothy, he said, I know you've got, let me say it this way, I know you know. I know you've got it. I know you've got what it takes. And he said, you need to stir it up. It's in my ability, it's in your ability to suppress the gift that is in us. It is in our ability to stir up, to charge up, to fire up the gift that is in us. How many of you, don't raise your hand on this, but how many of us really want to serve God to the fullest extent? And how many of us could use a good stirring? And Paul said, I'm bringing this up, Timothy, because I want you to stir up. I want you to stir it up. He didn't say I was going to stir it up. He said that you stir it up. He said there's a gift in you. There's a talent in you. There's an ability in you, and you've got to get on it. And you've got to get after it, because nobody else is going to make you do it. We don't have to serve God. Don't have to. It's a choice. So let's stir up that gift. Let's do what God called us to do. That God-given anointing. That God-given call. And look at what he says after that. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He said, Timothy, there's a reason you're not doing all you could do, and the reason is fear. Now, I repeat it again, and I don't know. Nobody's complained about it, but I imagine there are some people who think of, you know, dancing on the edge, if you will. But I'm telling you, things are going to get worse for the church. I don't just mean this church. I mean all churches. Let me back up. Not all places that call themselves churches. But those who preach the Word of God, who take a stand against sin, are going to have trouble ahead. What's going on in our country, what the road that we're headed down in our country, is going to lead to trouble for the church. It's going to lead to trouble for those who want to stand with God. And so we have to decide if we're going to cower, if we're going to hide, or if we're going to rise up, if we're going to stay stirred up, if we're going to preach. Are we willing to preach if it's going to affect our freedom and liberty? We better preach or it's going to affect our freedom and liberty. Are we willing to preach if it means imprisonment? Are we willing to preach if it means life? Y'all know that famous saying you were taught in school? Give me liberty or give me death. Do you understand that was a preacher? Do you understand that the question at hand was whether he'd be able to preach the gospel or not? Whether he would be able to have the liberty to preach. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. Seems like a good choice, doesn't it? You've got to stir up that gift. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. The church, you know, we talk about the dark ages of history. It seems like we've been in the dark ages where the church has withdrawn from society and this is the only place we praise and pray and preach. We got to share it out there. We got to show it out there. Like Lois and Eunice, we got to show it out there. Timothy has gotten to the point where he's afraid to preach. Somebody might get mad. I understand. We have people from time to time in church that you preach certain things, you're going to make them mad. Even if it's straight out of the Bible, I've had people get, you said that. I said, man, it's straight out of the Bible. That's not my opinion. I mean, it is my opinion, but I got my opinion from the Word of God. I remember a sermon now Brother Jerry Miller preached, and the title of his sermon was, Are You Crazy? I might have to preach that sometime. God has not given us a spirit of fear. What does that mean? That means when we have a spirit of fear and we're afraid to live in liberty and we're afraid to live in fullness of what God's called us to do, that didn't come from God. Is that what your Bible says? God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's what my Bible says. So if you got it, you got it somewhere else. That didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else. But what kind of spirit did he give us? Look at verse 7. He gave us a spirit of power. Man, we ought to be powerful Christians. We ought to be effective Christians. We ought to be an effective church. We ought to be making a difference. God has given us a spirit of power. What's that next one? And love. How do people see us in here and out there? I mean, when they see us together and when they see us alone, what do they see in us? Paul said, greatly desiring to see you. Do people feel loved in our presence? Do people feel loved by our voice, by our phone calls, by our writings, the cards? Somebody said, faithful to send cards. I'm grateful we have people in the church that do that. That same person said, I don't do that, but I'm grateful that they do that. And it shows love. God has given us the spirit of love. Power and love and what? And a sound mind. That was a little harder, isn't it? No, but what's he saying? He's saying we've got to be, here we go back to this word, balanced. Balanced. How many of you ever got excited about something? I can remember when we were growing up, we were, I don't know how old, 10 years old, and we get those flyers in the mail from, I guess it was Publishers Clearing House. And it was like 4 or 5 pages, and you were going to get a mansion in Colorado and a Lamborghini, and y'all ever get those when you were a kid? Boy, we'd take it in the room, and we'd divide it up. My brother said, well, I want this. And I said, well, I want that. My little brother said, I want that. We had it all figured out, what we were going to get. We were excited about it. By the way, we never won. And there are things in life that remind me of that. When I hear it and I get so excited, I say, oh boy, that's going to be awesome. But I got to get balanced, don't I? I got to get balanced. And we've been in that cycle here over the last several months in our country where you hear something and you say, oh good, hallelujah, thank God. But you got to be balanced. You got to be careful what you do with the things you hear because some of those things are not true. So we've got to be balanced, have a sound mind. We've got to check the information that we're getting. Guys, there's so much, especially now with the social media, there's so much information available to us. And I don't know why people make stuff up. I really don't. But they do. And Paul told Timothy, God's given us a sound mind. We've got to be balanced. We've got to know what we're talking about. We need to learn and seek truth. Be not there. Thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So Paul tells Timothy, look, I know that there's fear. I know that there's reason that you might be ashamed of me, and I know that sometimes you're scared to preach about what you know is true, but I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Preach. God who has saved us, verse 9. God who has called us with a holy calling. Isn't it exciting that God didn't just save us? He drew us into a church where we could work with others to make a difference. Where we could actually be part of some organization. called and designed by God, a holy calling. Holy means set apart for God's use. It means it's for God. God's given us a calling that's for Him. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose. Look, I appreciate that there are many talented people in the world doing many wonderful things. But let me tell you something. God gave them those abilities to serve Him. Not to serve ourselves, not to serve the world, not to serve mammon, to serve God. So that ability you've got, that talent, that skill, that natural talent, it came from God. But He didn't give it to you so you could sing in the honky-tonk. He gave it to you so you could praise Him. I know there's no such thing as a honky-tonk anymore. But you knew what I was talking about. Which was given to us. Look at what it says. According to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Somebody say what the rest of that says. How? How can it be that God gave me grace and a holy calling before the world began? Because I don't know about you, but I wasn't around before the world began. But in the mind and plan of God, I was on the radar. And He said, when that one's alive, I want him to get saved. And by the way, that was His plan for everybody. The grace is for everybody. And He said, I'm going to do this and that and the other. I'm going to put this in him and this ability and this talent and this skill in him. And this is what I want him to do. This is what I'm making him, designing him for. Before the world began, God had a plan for us, each of us. And before the world began, everybody out there that's not saved and that's not in church, God had a plan for them. Grace and talent. How they would fit in His plan. Now they chose not to. To this point, they've chosen not to. But before the world began, God had a plan for them, for us. And now it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Whereunto? Did you see that word there? What does that go to? Where's the whereunto go? The gospel. The gospel, look. Through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. What are we supposed to preach? The good news of God, the gospel, the message. God's word. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher for that. Look, if there's no salvation, there's no need for the preaching. If there's no preaching about salvation, there's no need for anything else to get preached. We've got to preach salvation. We've got to preach the gospel. Doctrine is good, but it's useless without salvation. Church organization is good, but without salvation, it's unnecessary. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Hey, did you hear? Brother Paul got arrested. Oh, my goodness. Paul got arrested. I got a prayer request. Brother Paul got arrested. Now, was that a prayer request or was that gossip? People do gossip that way. Paul got arrested. Paul got judged. He's in prison. He's in prison. Oh, my goodness. Brother Paul is in prison. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I didn't do anything wrong. He said, did they forget to tell you why I got arrested? Did they forget to tell you why they beat me up in town square? Did they forget to tell you why I got put in these chains? Why I'm in prison? Hey, you know why I got arrested? Because I was preaching Jesus. So I have nothing to be ashamed of. I hope the Lord comes back before that becomes our testimony. I really do. But we may face that choice. Somebody in America, somebody possibly in Capitol Heights Baptist Church is going to face that question one day. Guys, the world is not afraid of churches that don't preach the gospel. And churches that will agree to preach whatever the government tells them to preach can stay open. That's exactly what they did in the Soviet Union. As long as you agree. Guys, I don't know if you've noticed it, but you can say anything you want to as long as it meets their criteria. As long as it doesn't offend them. Let me say something very plainly to you. In America, there is a such thing as hateful speech. And that's the only speech that made the First Amendment necessary. Because who needs to protect speech that everybody agrees with? Nobody. It's when you say something that's offensive that it has to be protected. And that's why our founders put the First Amendment in place. Plainly. To protect speech. Especially politically offensive speech. That the government doesn't like. The battles are ahead. By the way, the battles are not just ahead of us. They're going on right now. There are attorneys in courts right now fighting for us to be able to assemble, fighting for us to have speech in America. I know that that was part of our history before the Bill of Rights, but guys, we're way beyond that. We're still fighting these battles. Paul says in verse 12, I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. He said, I know my hope's in Jesus. My hope's not in the government. My hope's not in myself. He said, I'm living for Jesus. I'm going to preach his word. And what it cost me, it cost me. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that, which I committed to him against that day. He said, I'm persuaded that I'm saved, saved, saved. If they kill you, all they're going to do is change your address. You just go from living here to living there. We're almost finished, but look at what he says in verse 13. He says, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, you need to preach what you've been taught. You need to preach what you know is true. Don't compromise it. Don't shift it. You don't need to adjust it according to your audience. We talked about that the other night. We don't have to always be on fire, right? Jumping up and down and screaming and shouting, Bible thumping and foot stomping. We don't have to do that. Some people will not hear that. Some people they're going to shut it off as soon as that starts. But for some people, that's the only way you're going to get their attention. For some people, they don't want to hear about hell. They just want to hear about Jesus. But others, if you don't tell them about hell, they're not getting saved. That good thing which was committed unto thee, verse 14, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That good thing. What is that good thing? Ministry. A calling. The anointing. As God has called us to be here now. In this era, in this part of history. God has put us here. We're the ones God has committed this opportunity to. And we keep saying, well, the church back then, they blew it, and now it's no hope. No, God put us here now for his job, for his mission, for his purpose. In verse number 16, he talks about Onesiphorus. It says, he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I wonder, when people talk about us, do they say, he or she oft refreshed me. Not just that, look at what he says in the next verse. He says he sought me out very diligently and found me. People who want to be around us. People who want to be around. We ought to cherish that. When you have friends, love them. Don't take it for granted. A lot of lonely people in the world. By the way, what do you think it would do for somebody if you called them, reached out to them, sought them? I call and they'll say, oh, I'm so glad you called. I mean, people, you say, they said that? Yeah, they said that. So glad you called. Thank you for calling. He oft refreshed me. I want to be like Onesiphorus. I want to be refreshing. I want to see all these things that Paul talked about with Timothy. I want to be stirred. I don't want to be settled. Is that the opposite of stirred? Settled? Stagnant? Stir up the gift. Because we've got work to do. And eternity is in the balance. Let's pray. God, we love you so much and we're thankful for Jesus. We thank you for your love and your grace. We pray that you will touch our bodies, our minds, as you will stir us up. God, put somebody in our path or give us the direction so we can find them, seek them and find them. And show them the way of salvation or encourage them, whatever it is you have for us to do. God, we're surrendered to whatever it is. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.